Baruch Shechianu, Lekimanu, Vigyanu, Lazman Azeh. It's a big schus to be back here with you for a new Zman. And I will, Bezrus Hashem, at least for the next bunch of Shurim, be doing topics that were requested by you guys. I really appreciated those who made suggestions, who gave the suggestions. I have a list of about 10 or so topics. I'm going to do the ones first that were suggested by multiple people, and then I'm happy to do the ones, try to do the ones that were suggested by individuals. So we will, Be'ezras Hashem, be doing that for the next while, and feel free to continue to send recommendations. I'm certainly very happy to try to do the suggestions. So one suggestion that another number of people made was the topic of Bechiras Yisrael, why we were chosen. The way one person put it was the Torah's view on Gayim, I think, or the like. We'll try to focus more on the positive, but in the sense, two sides of the coin. So that's what we're going to start with. And what I'd like to do is everybody should be able to, was able to download the Marim Kamos? Okay, great. So I want to start with a general discussion of the issue, and then I'd like to focus either, hopefully we'll start this week and continue next week, with the approaches of particular thinkers. We'll work on the Mahalik of the Rambam, of the Kuzari, maybe Rav Kook, the Maharal, and see how different perspectives. So we'll first be a little more general, and then we'll look at particular things. As you could see, there's a lot of Makoros that I gave you. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, and we'll probably even want to see things that that I didn't put here. But what can we do? This is what this is. I had to finish at some point. So we should start by noting that this is a complex topic, Bechiras Yisrael. It's one that I think is challenging. Oh, already a question. Yes, really.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't see where the Makoros are. Are they on Canvas?
They're on Canvas. On the home page, there was a link, and the link is to a file, and the file to download them. You know what? I could try to put them on the chat.
I don't see them in the Makoros link.
You're not. Did anybody else see them? Or it's just...
Well, I mean, I see this in the Makoros. Is there the latest one? Which topic would it be under?
Yeah, there's just one document.
Canvas. There's a new page.
Are you in the old Canvas one? From
yeah, I'm in the old one.
Oh, then how do you get on? This is a new link.
It's just something in the chat. I was wondering why.
All right. So, okay. So go to, but I'll put it anyway in the meantime on the chat also. Okay. So I just put it in the chat. So you should be able to get it that way or in Canvas. Okay. Great. As I said, more than any other topic, this is one that is by certain modern sensibilities. We have to figure out, people are troubled by things like racism. So what is the nature of Bechira? And what does it mean about us? What does it mean about everybody else? I was speaking we'll get to that point maybe a little later after we see a little bit more. So I think, our job, of course, is to try to figure out the Hashkafas HaTorah. And I think that that when you have an issue like this, where the sensibilities of most of society have changed, so then we have to be particularly careful to understand what the Hashkafas HaTorah is, and determine, is it different than contemporary sensibilities? Is it the same? Is it consistent? Is it inconsistent? And that's a difficult avoda, and we'll try our best. I think we'll need to spend a little more than a week on this, but it's a very fundamental topic, we'll try to see why. I think that I'll mention that somebody, I think Rabbi Stoller, once asked Rav Huttner, you know, what's the most important thing to treat in chinuch nowadays? All right, nowadays, that was a little bit ago, but and he answered Bechiras Yisrael, and actually we'll see Rav Kook says a similar thing. We'll try to figure out why that is, and how should we understand it, and also maybe consider as well, you know, how should it be taught, and what should we teach? And I'll mention just an interesting story about this. I said before we started shiur that Rab Aaron Lapiansky, I was very fortunate that he looked over the chapters on this topic. And one of the things he said, I had a lot on Kuzari, and he said you have to take out a lot of what you have. So we'll see what you know. We'll see some of the things that are taken out. And he said you have to take it out, not because it's wrong, but because it could be misunderstood too easily, and therefore you have to be careful about how you teach it, and therefore because it could be misunderstood. So you know, maybe it's not in a safer that anyone could read. It's not the place to put it. And actually, Rabbi Reese, who also had looked at those chapters, made the same point. He said, these are things that, again, on one hand, they're very fundamental, but on the other hand, they're subject to misunderstanding. And so we have to know them. And we also have to think very carefully when we're teaching, how we teach them. So let's start again first with more general points, and then we'll get the Kuzari in particular, and we'll learn what he says, and then we could also think about how it should best be presented. So I think that, I guess like most topics, but perhaps particularly here, it is complex. And you'll find passages in various texts, and all sorts of texts. Kuzari is one of them, but others as well, which if you just looked at those particular passages, you could come out with a very incorrect understanding of the Torah's Hashkafa when things are taken out of context, when you don't see the bigger picture. There is, of course, also, as we're going to see, significant machlokas about this sugya, but that being the case, so we need to go ahead and figure, you know, acknowledge, embrace the complexity, and try to figure out what's agreed upon and what is disagreed upon. So I want to start maybe with a quote that I saw, which I think stresses an issue, because as I said, we don't want to be, stress is an issue which is sometimes unstressed. We're going to be talking about today and in the coming weeks, what is singular and unique and special about the Jews. And that's true. We also can't forget something that's equally important. Chazal tell us in Perkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, that all humanity, all people, are Nivra B'Tzelem, and as such, they're Chaviv, they're beloved to HaKadosh Baruch. Every single human is Chaviv. I saw an interesting quote from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I'll translate it. I don't know if this is from, I didn't put it on your sheets. It's from the Daf Kesher from Gush. If you want to look at the original, it's Daf Kesher 134. But more or less what he says is that the starting point of...
I already forgot my phone and I had to use the key to 10 minutes to get into our house.
Maybe someone is, should mute themselves. The starting point of any approach regarding non-Jews is the knowledge and the recognition that the subject of discussion is people and not items, and all that it is implied and obligated by this. There must be a recognition that this personality is a metaphysical, moral, and human entity, the humanistic consciousness. And we shouldn't be embarrassed by this phrase, a humanistic perspective that sees the greatness of man in a supernatural, cosmic, and moral sense, is the starting point and the basis of any question or connection, not just about ourselves, but also about non-Jews. In other words, we have to remember we're talking about people, and people are archavith, like the Mishnah Perkei Avos says. And before we even can begin talking about Chaviv in Yisrael, we have to first recognize and appreciate Chaviv Adam and the godless Adam and the godless of every single human being. And if we don't appreciate that, if we forget that, if we start thinking about non-Jews, Rahmana Litzlam, as subhuman or animals or anything like that, then we've missed the point. Chazal are telling us that Chaviv Adam Shenivrat B'Tzelem, every human being is a Tzelem Elokim. That's an extraordinary Madrega. And that's 100% true. And whatever discussion we're going to have about the uniqueness in terms of the Jewish people and their role has to be with that recognition. Okay, so let's start with the question of why were we chosen? And with that, we'll also address another question, which is, can God ever reject us entirely? Is God's love unconditional? Are we chosen because of who we are, what we've done? Are we different? What if we change? What if we don't live up to that mission? So I think a good place to start with this, for this, is the description of Noah, the introduction, the Torah's introduction of Noah, and compare it to the Torah's introduction of Avram Avinu. So Ramban already notes this. It's very striking that when Noah is introduced, and he's told, the Torah tells us why he was chosen for his mission. Ela tolos Noach, Noach is tzadik, tamim haya b'dorosav, es ha'lokim, his halech Noach. So why did Hashem choose Noach? Because he was a tzadik, he was a tamim. What about Avram Avinu? Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lach lecha me'artzecha nemulatetcha beis avicha l'artz asher eka. Ve'eschal gai gadol, v'alareichecha v'agadla shemech v'yei bracha, v'avarcha m'varchecha u'mekalalcha ha'or, v'nivrechuvecha kol mishpachos ha'adama. So it doesn't tell us why Avraham was chosen. It doesn't tell us why he's being told to leave Haran and go to Eretz Canaan. It doesn't tell us why Hashem promises to make him into a Goy Gadol. Why the Agad Lashemecha? Why Avarech Mevarchecha, etc., etc. Right? Why doesn't it start with the same type of introduction? Avraham was a tzaddik, he was tamim. Before Vayomer Hashem al Noach, we have El Tolos Noach, Noach is Tzadik, Tamim Hayah B'Dorosav. So the same thing should be with Avram. Before Vayomer Hashem al Avram, tell us why. Why is God speaking to the world? Why is he being chosen? Why is he being selected for this mission? Why does the Torah introduce Avram? We end up reading on in the Torah. We find how great Avram Avinu is. We see how great he is. But that's only after he was selected for this mission. Doesn't it tell us before he was selected? That's the question. So the Maral over here in Netzach Yisrael attributes this discrepancy to the disparate natures of the mission of Avram. And what tells us is that Noach was chosen to be a survivor, He was chosen as an individual, a very important mission. He carried on the human race. But nevertheless, it was as an individual, whereas Avraham Avinu was chosen to found a nation. And because Avraham Avinu's selection goes beyond himself, it's not just about him as a person, but it's about him as the founder of a nation. So therefore, it's not limited to the reason. If I select you for a reason, so then you need to say what the reason is. But that's if I select you as an individual for a reason. And naturally, then if the reason is gone, then the selection is gone. Avraham Avinu was chosen to be the beginning of a nation. And as such, it goes beyond himself. So let's take a look at the words of the Maharal. Avalafi hadvarim asher amarnu lecha lo yiksha klal ki etzel noach lo haya rak bechira prati va bechira pratit hu lefi mashehu va kol hu lefi maisa tzidko shalom. Aval be'avram lo haya bechira pratit. It wasn't an individual selection. It wasn't a private selection. It wasn't him as a prati. Rak be'uma ha'yisraelis, right? As we see in that very first Sukkim in Lech Lecha, right? What does Hashem say to Avram? Be'ezcha l'gai gadol, v'varechecha l'gadlash mecha le'yid racha. Right? Through you, bracha is going to come to kol mishpachos ha'adama. It's not about you, or not just about you, but you're being a nation. Sherei kasabos b'chira. Be'ezcha, be'ezel scha l'gai gadol. V'zeh b'chira klalis. U'b'chira k'mozos, ain't tali b'maisa klal. So it's not just dependent. It's not even dependent on a maisa, the lo b'chait, ki a maisa hu l'prat. Individual behavior relates to individual qua individual. Af ki b'vadei z'chos avos ma'wil, mikol makom. So of course, Avram's and the avos' behavior was extraordinary, and that z'chos avos remains with us. But that is not the nekuda of the b'chira. That's not the nekuda of the b'chira. I lost the place, sorry. Mikol makom, ikar b'chira, b'chira klalis, bo uvizaro. Val yikshe l'chamash kasov, lo b'tzid kascha ta bal areshes v'gomer, uleman hakim es hadavar asher nishba lavosecha. Bivadai, in other words, which sort of sounds like the reason why you're being brought into Eretz Yisrael is because of the shvua that he made to the avos. So maybe you think, it's taloi in the behavior of the avos, that the bechira is really taloi in the behavior of the maisim. The fact that that particular door went into Eretz Yisrael was taloi in tzchos avos, because it related to one particular door. Aval ikar bechira shebachar Hashem yisparach b'Avram lo haya bechira pratis. But the ikar that Hashem made was not a prati. It didn't relate to the individual. Rak shebachar bo v'zaro acharav bechira klalis. The lo haya bechira pratis. Shebechira pratis hu lefiya mekabel. When we're dealing with a prati, it depends on the worthiness of the individual recipient of that selection. And as such, if the individual changes, so then the nature of the election will change. If it had said Avram was a big tzaddik, and let's say it told us his early history, told us about the various things he did, told us about Ur Kasdim, about independently discovering Kadosh Baruch Hu, it said all those things. So then what would we think? We would think, so why was Avram chosen? Because of his righteousness. And as such, we would think that the chosenness is limited to those, to his being righteous. And to the extent that it's passed on beyond him, it's going to be limited by his progeny following in that path of righteousness. And should, chas v'shalom, his descendants not follow in that path, so then their selection and their election would end. That's what would be implied had the election been preceded by a description of his righteousness. The imkein haya ha'ava tliya b'davar. It wouldn't just be, it would be ava tliya b'davar, ava tliya b'davar batal ava, batal davar batal ava, like we say in Pirkei Avos, right? It would have been ava tliya b'davar. Hashem says, I love you, Avram, because of your righteous behavior. And that would imply that it's dependent on that behavior. It's ava tliya b'davar. Lefikach. And you see that agav in those psukim that he the Maharal alluded to before in Dvarim Perek Tes. In other words, he says it's not in lobitzit kascha. It's not because you guys are so righteous. Or likewise, the psukim in Dvarim say it's not because you are lo mirubchem chashak Hashem bachem. But why? Because me'ava, because of the love. Well, true love is something that is not totally bedavar. It's not dependent on anything. Now, we'll see. Does that mean it's random? It's arbitrary, right? Should we reading these psukim in Lech Lecha saying, oh, you know, Hashem like arbitrarily picked a person and spoke to him? So we'll see that's not right either. But the point, though, that the psukim are emphasizing is that this is not something that's totally bedavar. It's not limited by this behavior. It's something that goes beyond it. Lefikach, ela b'chira pratit, yesh shinui. The law ala b'chira klalis, the kevan shalom nizkat, right? B'chira klalis, because it's not limited by reason, it's not subject to shinui. The kevan shalom nizkat, tzidkas Avram, kodem shamar lo lech lecha me'artzacha, lo haya zeh b'shvil tzidkas Avram, ad shetomar im batal davar batal ava, kizchus avos efshe shiatama. If it was just telling his rectitude, so then chus avos could run out. And it wouldn't be eternal by definition. V'im kein, tia b'chira zo shabachar b'avram bato. V'lachach lo hizkir z'chuso. Right? And this we could understand very beautifully why Hashem tells Avram that my selection of you is eternal. What does Hashem tell Avram? This is going to be a bris olam, an eternal covenant. Eternal means unchanging. Well, if it was talui in our behavior, so then it couldn't be a bris olam, because mechatesi, we're always going to act in that proper way. So can skip to the next paragraph. Lachein eisal noach, shehashem yisborach kirvo, zaya b'shvil maisiv bilvad. Noach, the selection of Noach, was just based off his righteousness. Ulekach lo haya b'chir b'zar klal. And in Mele, there was no special selection to his children. Okay, some of his children did better than others. And so they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have been mesiachis to them differently, but it wasn't fundamental. There was no bris made with shame. Masha'en came with Avram. V'ilu yavinu zeh b'nei Adam, lo Allah al machshav ta machshav es hevel, lo mark yashem yisborach ma'as b'Yisrael chas shalom. Now here he's alluding to an interesting point. Right, Kayadua, the Christians claimed that God broke his covenant with the Jewish people. Yeah, maybe once upon a time the Jewish people were special, but then they sinned and he's broken the covenant, and now they're not special anymore. And Adarabba, they're lower. And what the Maharal is saying is, if you read the Psukim, that's not true. In other words, it's a bris olam by definition, right? And even if it's true that they sinned, and it is true to some degree, but that can't create a hatharas bris, because the bris wasn't totally in our behavior. The truth is, not just the Christians that thought that maybe the bris has ended with Galus. It was the Jewish people, as the Psukim in Yechezkel describe, you know, that which was ola b'machshav techem, that, you know, it's ended with galus, and we could be like the amim. No, and even if you think you want to be like the gayim, you can't. And b'chema shfulcha am loch aleichem, right? So that very important idea, which we still haven't explained why it is, but that very important idea that the nature of an eternal covenant is already alluded to in these opening psukim of the Bechira of Avram Avinu, who was, of course, the founder, in a sense, of Kol Yisrael. They're already alluded to here, dafka, by omitting the reason. Let's take a look at the next medrash, relates to our parsha, Shmos Rava, Ra'o Ra'is Yesani Ami, Ve'irei Latzilo Ki Adati Es Machovav. Yodeyani Kama Sidim Lehach Iveni, Kama Yimruhu Bamid Bar V'Gomer. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and redeems Kol Yisrael from Mitzrayim, he knew what he was getting into. He knew how much stars they were going to give him. V'afal Pichein Eini Nimna Mi L'Ga'alan. But Hashem says, doesn't stop me from redeeming them. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, Adavar Zeh, Shafat Asniel Ben Kenaz, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yibon Shalaylam, Hiftachtas Moshe, Bein Osim Ritzoncha, Bein Ein Osim Ritzoncha, Ata Goalem, Shenemar, Vati Alav Ruach, Elokim, Vaishbot Es Yisrael, Lekach, Ksiv, So this very argument, Osniel ben Kenaz, the Shofate, goes ahead and makes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shoftim, when he asks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem Kal Yisrael and that Sarah, said, look, you promised us that no matter what, because the selection goes beyond our worthiness. Throughout to Lomar, Ki Vivadeh HaBris Shekar, says Im Avram Loisar, Sharei lo nasan gvul v'ketz lebris hazeh, rak amar lebris olam. V'af shahaya gorei ma'aseim l'tov o l'ra, sh'yosef ha'dveikos o yigra. Don't think that our behavior is irrelevant. Avada it is, right? The more, when we do good things, there's greater dveikos. When we misbehave, where there's richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, darzeh bevadai, haya lefi rov ha'maisa, ki az yosef o yigra. Avo michal malkom etzem ha'bechira, the etzem ha-bechira has nothing to do with maisa, and therefore it is eternal. The Maharal points out very interestingly, says, you see this idea alluded to in another pasuk that we see every day from Nehemiah. Atah Hashem Elokim, Asher Bachata b'Avraham, Lotzeisu Mirakastim, Santash Ma'Avraham, U'matasas Lavon, Neman Lefanach. The pasuk is going in chronological order. So number one, Bachata b'Avraham. Two, Otsesu Mirakastin. Three, Samtashma Avraham. And four, Matzasas Levavai Neman Lefanacha. You found him to be Neman, right? Shouldn't it should really say Fakert. It should say, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Matza Es Levav Neman Lefanacha. V'bacharta Bo, V'otsesu Mirakastin, Samtashma Avraham. But the pshat is, like we're saying, that the descriptions of Avram Avinu and his greatness in the Torah all take place after his election. So certainly Avram Avinu would become the greatest person ever to live, at least until that point. Nevertheless, the Torah goes out of its way to emphasize that that's not the reason for his chosenness. Now we have to take a step back. So does that mean it was random? Does that mean it was arbitrary? Not necessarily. And we'll see how Chazal make this point in one moment. But even before we get to Chazal, just thinking about the Pshuto Shel Mikra, I think that the point is that it's something that is inaccessible. That's really the dagesh of the psukim. It reflects God's inscrutable will. It's something that goes beyond reason. In other words, there's a very big difference between L'mashal l'madavar doma, right? We'll go to the mashal after we see a little more. So what's implied by the psukim is again not so much that this is random, but it's not limited or dependent on reasoning. Okay, Shirley, yeah, you have a question.
Yeah, you know, why couldn't we say that there was an initial reason and then once that reason was fulfilled, then it became unconditional, like almost
okay. Another option, but the Torah doesn't even do that. And because I think what the Maharal is saying is it goes even beyond the initial reason. And others don't even say that, you know, it was initially this, but then it became something bigger. Let's give a mashal, and we'll flesh out the mashal in a minute. But let's say, you know, a couple goes out and they decide to get married. So on the one hand, we would say that their love after they get married goes beyond whatever reasons were there why they decided to get married. But at the same time, it was, you know, there are reasons, right? So maybe it should be something like that. That's your question, right? And what you see l'chora from the Torah is the Torah is not saying that. Now, you could just say, well, it didn't be, if it said the reasons, then you would think it's limited to the reasons. But I think what the Ramal is saying, really what the Pesukim imply, is no, it's something even beyond that. And you're right, that's perplexing. We need to try to understand why that is, what's being stated here. Okay, so what I want to do is but just to say that one again, just because something, you know, just because I can't put my finger on something doesn't mean it's arbitrary. I don't think the Pesukim are saying it's arbitrary, but what the Pesukim are saying is it's something beyond reasoning. And perhaps it's because of that there has to be more. If it isn't random, so is there anything? And when we look to Chazal, so we see that Chazal do provide a reason. In other words, while the Torah Shebichsav doesn't tell us anything about the early history of Avram Avinu, but Chazal do. Chazal tell us how Avram Avinu independently discovers God. Chazal tell us how he's Moser Nafesh or Kazdin. Chazal tell us that indeed, before Hashem ever spoke to him, Avram Avinu was the greatest person ever to have lived. Just one example of this, take a look at how the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah describes the early history of the world, right? So in the first halachos, he talked about how idolatry developed, right? Because it's perplexing from a world where at one point everybody knew of God to a world in which Avodah Zarah was rampant. And he describes that history. And then he describes how things changed. So let's just take a look. V'kevan sh'arach v'yamim kach Hashem ha'nechbad v'anayra mepi kol ha'yekum umidaitam v'lo yikiruhu v'al derech zahaya ha'olam holech mezgalgal ad sh'nolad amudo shel olam v'hu Avram Avinu. So there was this deterioration from the time of Enosh all the way until Avram Avinu was born. Agav, I think Rav Twersky points out that it's fascinating that there's no gap in the Mabul. Even though in a certain sense you would think, well, of course, at least at some point during the Mabul, everybody realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe it went back. But really the Mabul didn't change the trajectory. Which is a fascinating thing, you know, about our inability to sometimes assimilate what should be an obvious message, but that's for another time. So Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. So once Avram Avinu was weaned, Hischil Shote Bedato, Vehu Katan Hischil Lashop Yom Vaila, Vahaya Tamea, Ech Efshar Shiya Galgal, Hazeh Noheg Tamid, Velo Yelo Manhig, Umi Yisavevo. So this is a cosmological argument. How could there be a universe if there's no guide of the universe, right? What's causing it to spin? What's causing the earth to spin? Does it spin itself, right? Even if something else spins it, well, what gives that the power? And so Avram Avinu, starting from a very young age, began to question. Now, it's very fascinating, by the way, how the Rambam describes this. You know, Chazal say two things. Chazal say that Avram Avinu sort of discovers God at the age of 3, and also that at the age of 40. And which one is it? And the Rambam basically answers that question by describing a process that began at a very young age when he started asking questions as young children are wont to do. But sometimes young children stop asking questions as they get a little older, especially once they start going to school, you know. But Avram Avinu continued asking and searching and groping until at the age of 40, he came to the definitive knowledge that God exists. And the Rambam here, we'll read it a little more inside, emphasizes an extraordinary thing. He says that, you know, Avram Avinu, it's not like he was Kadosh Merechem in a certain sense. Avram Avinu also served idolatry. You know, he went with his family to church every week, but he kept on questioning and searching. You know, he didn't accept the answers that he was given because he saw that they were false. It's a process. And even then, after discovering God, it was several decades until Hashem actually spoke to him, which is also something extraordinary to think about. When he was Moser Nefesh, it wasn't because God had ever spoken to him. It was simply because of his own conviction of the truth of his belief. Anyway, so the Rambam continues, V'loy elam lamed v'lom odia davar ela mushka bor kastin bein ovdei kochavim v'tipshim v'avi v'ima v'chol ha'am ovdei kochavim. V'loy ovdei imam, like I said, he mama, she also served Avodah Zarah with them. But he wasn't happy with that. V'libo mishotet umevin ad shehisig derech ha'emes v'hevin kav ha'tzedek me tfunaso ha'nechona. So the Rambam here is describing a journey. V'yada sheyesh sham eloka echad v'hu manig ha'galgal v'hu bara ha'kol v'ein b'chol ha'nimtza eloka chutz mimenu. V'yada shekol ha'olam to'im v'davar shegarim lahem l'to'os zeh she'ovdim eskochavim, etc., etc. So he eventually comes to the definitive knowledge of the truth of God's existence, the falseness of idolatry. And then the Rambam continues to describe how he starts a mission to teach the world of monotheism, to be Kori B'Shem Hashem, and he gathers around him, etc., etc. So what do we see? A very different story than the one described in Parshas Lech Lecha. I'll tell you one other example, though, Bekitzer, because I want to move on, where perhaps you see the same dichotomy, maybe the same, we could call it a stira, between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. If you look in the Psukim, we referred to them earlier, Dvarim Zayin, Psukim, Vav Zayin Ches, that describe the Chiras Yisrael. So you certainly get the impression from the Torah that it's trying to hide the reason, or if there is a reason, it's inscrutable, or there's no reason, right? Kiyam kadosh ata la'ashem alokacha, v'cha b'char ha'ashem alokacha li'os lo la'am segula mikol amim asher al pnei adama lo me'rubchem mikol amim chashak ha'ashem b'chem v'yuchar b'chem ki atana mikol amim. So why are you the am segula? No, it's not because you're me'rubchem. Right? So what is the reason? It doesn't say. It says because he has Ava for you, but doesn't say the reason, right? It talks about the Shua to the Avos, but doesn't say the reason, right? So if I look in this Pasuk, why is Hashem love us? I don't know. Right, the Torah Shemachsav seems to be hiding the reason. When we look at Chazal, they see in this very passage an allusion to the reason. They see why. Let's look at the Gemara that he quotes that we have below here. Lo meiruchem mikol amim chashak Hashem bachem amar lahem hakadosh baruch hu Yisrael choshkani bachem shafilu b'shah shani mashpi alachem gedula atem ematem es atzmachem lefanai. So lo meiruchem means that, why did Hashem choose us? Because we are humble. Even when I grant you greatness, you're mashpil yourselves. Look at Avram Avinu, I gave him gedula. He says, Anochi afer ve'efer. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave him gedula. He says, Menachnu ma. Look at David HaMelech. He says, Vanochli tolas v'lo ish. And compare that to the Ovdei Kochavim. Nimrod, he gives gedula. He says, Hava nivna lanu ir. Power, he gives gedula. He says, Mi Hashem. Sancheirav gives gedula. He says, Mi b'chol alokei ratzos. Nevuchadnezzar gives gedula. He says, Allah b'malteyav. Chiram gives gedula. He says, Moshav alokim yashavti b'laif yamim. In other words, how do Chazal darshan this pasuk? They darshan the pasukim to be teaching us the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu chose us. So again, the very same pattern where the Torah Shebichsav emphasizes the reason for selection and hides the reason for selection, and the Torah Shebaal Peh finds in the very same pesukim reason for selection. So how do we understand this? How are we supposed to relate to, again, what we call a stira, or certainly a difference in implications? So in general, when we see a stira like this, I think what it's teaching us is that there are two different approaches to understanding this topic. The Torah Shebichsav teaches us one approach, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is teaching us another. Each one on its own is incomplete, and it's only when you look at the question from both perspectives that you'll come to the emes. So the Torah Shebichsav, like the Maral taught us, is emphasizing that the selection reflects God's inscrutable will. It's something that goes beyond reason. It's something that's not limited to reason. It's something that we can't understand. Chazal are saying that's true, but it's not random. It's not arbitrary. Where is that coming from? It didn't come from a vacuum. It wasn't just as though God pulled Avram out of a hat. I'd like to suggest that these two aspects to Bechiras Yisrael can be seen in the metaphors that we find in Torah and then Chazal to depict the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of them is, of course, that we are his children. Banim matan l'Hashem Elokechem, b'ni b'chori Yisrael. That's one way in which we're described of being the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another way is that we are described, depicted as being his spouse. Ve'rastich li li'olam, all of Shir Shirin is about the spousal relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, let's think about what is the difference between a parent-child bond and a spousal bond. So a parent-child bond is one which goes beyond reason, right? Why do I love my children? It's not because of anything that they did. I love them before they were born. It's because it's inherent. And that's why a parent-child bond is one that is not limited to their reason. In other words, no matter what they do, they're going to be my children and I'm going to love them. It's not to say that their behavior doesn't affect the relationship, but it's not limiting in that capacity. There's no such thing as divorcing your child or terminating that relationship. On the other hand, a spousal relationship is quite different. A spousal relationship, why do I choose the person that I marry? Because of qualities that she has. Again, perhaps it's not limited to those qualities. It's ava shenatuli v'davar, goes beyond them. But at the end of the day, it's rooted in those qualities, in those special things. And therefore, in the case of a marriage, if one of the spouses fails to live up to the understanding, the expectations, so it can be broken. It's not guaranteed. It's not fixed. So what is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's both. We are his children and we are his spouse. And the Torah Shebichsav emphasizes the parent-child relationship. Chazal, in telling us the reasons, emphasize the spousal relationship. The nafkamina is, like we said, is it guaranteed? Will it last forever? So here too, I think we could say that we see both messages. On the one hand, certainly it is guaranteed, like the psukim say, it's going to be a bris olam. Rashi in Dvarim Yotes says, "V'haya v'huya l'chal Elohim l'fi shadavar diber l'cha v'nishpal avosecha shel l'hachlef ezaram v'uma acheres l'kach hu oser eschem v'shvus halalu shelo takni tuhu achar shehu enu yachol hibadol mikem." Right? Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't separate from us. It's guaranteed. And we see this in so many places. When you look at the Tochacha, for example, in Vayikra and Parshas B'chukosai, it talks about how the terrible averos that we're going to do, and God is going to punish us viciously for those horrible averos. But in the end of the day, how does it end? How does it end? It ends with a guarantee of redemption. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo v'avor shmo gadol. Ki ho'il Hashem lasos eschem la'am. And so many other places. On the other hand, let's just compare it to the Tochachah and Dvarim. Over there, you get a very different message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after describing the horrible punishments that we are going to suffer for breaking the bonds and failing to live up to expectations, it just ends. Okay, maybe Parshas Nitzavim, Vayelech, Chazinu, you have of redemption. But the Tochacha doesn't end with a promise of redemption. Many psukim and Navi talk about us being Mayfair Bris. Perhaps one of the most damning expressions of this is in Yirmiyahu, relates to Gittin, right? So if you look at Yirmiyahu, Perk Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Lemor Hein Yishalach, Ish Es Ishto V'alcha Meito V'aysal Yishacher, Hayashuv Eileha Od, Halo Chanov Techanef Haaretz Ahi. So if a wife is unfaithful, she has an affair, so could she return to her husband? No, chas v'shalom. V'at zanis re'im rabim v'shuv elai num Hashem, and yet you have been adulterous. You've had many, many lovers, many affairs. Klal Yisrael has run after Avodah Zarah. So could you return to me? And later, pasach ches ve'raki al odos Asher niyafa mishuvah Yisrael shalachtia. I sent away Yisrael because of her sins. V'tein es sefer krisus ela. I mamish divorced her. V'lo yara bogda Yehuda achosa. V'atelach v'tizen gan Yehuda. Didn't learn the lesson. And she also went and was mizaneh. So how do we relate to these psukim? So I think the answer is, like we've been explaining, that there are these two components to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is this duality, a dichotomy. They're both true. Both are true. And Chazal pick up on this point in looking at the these mashalim. If you look at the Gemara Kiddushin, so it says, Banim atam Hashem Elokeichem, Bizman Shem atam Nogim Minog Banim, Atem Kriyim Banim, according to Yehuda, are we children? If we act like children. Remeir disagrees. Remeir, oimer, benkach, ubenkach, atem kriyim banim. No matter what, you're banim. Shenemar, banim sichlim hema. V'omer, banim loimun bam. V'omer, zerim reim, banim ashchisim. V'omer, v'haya b'mkom asher yomar lahem lo amiyatem, yomar lahem b'ni kelchai. What do these psukim say? These psukim go ahead and they refer to us as terrible children, wicked children, rebellious children. But even when we're rebellious, we're still children. That's what the psukim are saying. We're never not banim. And there's a fascinating truth of Rashba. The Rashba writes, even though maybe normally you would think you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. And that's why that's reflected in the idea of Yisrael afal bishachata Yisrael hu. No matter what a Jew does, he's still Jewish. You can't shake off your Judaism. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Meir, because he has psukim, right? So because we are banim, we are guaranteed that this relationship will continue no matter what we do. does that mean that it will be unchanged? No, because there's this other aspect of our relationship. There's the spousal relationship. And because there's also, it's not just a parent-child relationship, because it's also a spousal relationship, then an element of our relationship can be broken. An aspect, the spousal relationship can be broken. It is totally on our behavior. It's not a stira, because they're both true. And that's what we saw in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And the truth is that in halacha, we see this as well. On the one hand, we have a concept in halacha that once you're Jewish forever. The Gemara Nivamos, you have over here, Tavel B'Allah, Hariyuk Yisrael Chodvarav, Umay Hilchasa, Dihadar Beg, Mekadish Bas Yisrael, Yisrael Mummer Karina Beg, the Kiddush of Kiddushin. If someone goes ahead and becomes a mummer, someone Rachmana Litzlan is Mishtame, they convert to a different faith, they reject their Judaism entirely, still, halachically, they're Jewish. Kiddush of Kiddushin. On the other, and another reflection of this is the concept of Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. It's very interesting, because you could have just read that as a sort of an agadat idea, which it is as well. There's a number of Chuvos Rashi, which you have later on, in which he cites that Gemara as a source for the halachos that a Jew remains a Jew no matter what. But at the same time, we also have other dinim like mumer ke'akom l'chodavar. In many respects, in many halachos, we say that if a mumer has a din of a guy, mumer has a din of a guy, his shechit is invalid. According to some Rishonim, you could charge him interest. Other ways as well. So which one is it? You know, is Yisrael Talpi Shechat Yisrael Hu, or is Mumar Dino Ka'akom? The answer is both. So it's tricky. We have to figure out what halachos reflect the parent-child bond and what halachos reflect the spousal bond. The way Rav Lichtenstein has a very beautiful article on this, which was sort of a response to the Brother Daniel controversy, in which a Dominican friar wanted to be allowed, granted citizenship in Eretz Yisrael based off of the law of return. And he was mechalek between Shem Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. In a sense, you know, it's the same thing. It could be phrased in various different ways. But the point is that there are these two relationships, two aspects of our relationship. One, which is guaranteed, which is unbroken, which can never end. The one, like we said, that's inscrutable, that goes beyond reason. The one depicted primarily in the Torah Shebichtav. And there is the spousal bond, focused on perhaps a little more in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is determined and dependent upon our behavior. There's a fascinating Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi actually notes that Chazal were bothered by a stirim psukim, and the stirim psukim sort of reflect the very stira that we've been talking about. One is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which suggests that perhaps we've been divorced, or at the very least, we're subject to being divorced. And the other is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which sounds like it's impossible. Let's take a look at the Al-Kachimoniyev further down. It says, Asita k'nes Yisrael shem l'znei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yibonu shel Olam, k'farik savta le'mor hein yishlach ish es yishto v'gomer, right? Which, like we said, implies that there was, or at least may be, divorce. Amilah, klum hichtavti ela ish. Oh, it is true that if a man divorces his wife and she remarries, there's an iser of machzer gushaso, but that's for man. Valo kvar nemar ki kel anochi velo ish. V'chi grushim atem li beis Yisrael? No. Komar Hashem, eze sefer krisus imchem. Where is that get? I never gave you a get. So what's the pshat in this? So the Beis HaLevi, Yudfasha on this. And the Beis HaLevi, it's drush yud zayin if you want to read the whole thing. But he says that, what's the pshat? The Medrash is really saying two answers to this question. First of all, that rule applies to a man, not to God. So even though the pasuk says that if a man divorces, he can't remarry, there is an iser machzor grushaso. But moreover, God says, I didn't actually divorce you. Where's your get? So he says, what's the pshat? Because the relationship between Klal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of Kedushas HaGuf. Kedushas HaGuf is a Kedusha that doesn't allow for desanctification. You can't be poda, right? Or to put it differently, b'kedushas HaGuf, yesh mo'el achar mo'el. Because it can't lose that sanctity, so there's me'ila achar me'ila. The Maral explains likewise in Netzach Yisrael Perk Yud Aleph. He says, what's the pshat in Kafalim Har Kigigis? After all, we already accepted it. We said Nasa V'Nishma. The answer is, the pshat is because if it was just Tali Nasa V'Nishma, so the root of our relationship will be our acceptance. And Mimela, that's something that could end, that's dependent. And so we have it Bal Korchenu. We have Kafalim Har Kigigis. And if it's Val Korchenu, so Mimela, then Gerishin isn't possible. It's inherent. It's Kedushas HaGuf. It reflects that eternal bond. So, where does that leave us? I think what the message we're getting is that the relationship between Kal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complex. And just a couple hours from now, many of us will sing Yadid Nefesh, and we conclude. What do we say? We say Yadid Nefesh, Av Harachaman, Mishoch Av Decha Ritzonecha. Just think about that. In that first sentence, the first stanza, we refer to three metaphors to depict our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is Yadid Nefesh? We're his soul friend, right? What's the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Buds, as it were. He's our father. He's our melech, where it's eved. It's not a relationship that could possibly be described in one word. It's not a relationship that has any sort of human analog. It's something that is be'etzem, and it's something that goes beyond reason, and it's something that's complex. I don't know if we can expect to fully understand the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like we can't fully understand him. But I think what we've seen in the Makoros we've learned together today is that we should try, that it's a sugya that we need to explore. And B'siyata D'Shmai, in the coming weeks, we'll continue discussing this topic. At least next week, we'll see from there. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.
Shkayach, Rabbi.
Shkayach, Rabbi. Shkayach, Rabbi. Shkayach,
Rabbi. Shkayach, Rabbi. Everybody, how are you? I am well. Baruch Hashem.
Thanks so much for the class. I had a quick question. I'm sure we're going to get into it a little bit, but I guess something that I always think about when I'm like talking about like Bechiras Yisrael and all that, you know, and like the whole subject, mm-hmm. is how to balance kind of like, I think kind of being within the, I mean, you alluded to it earlier, so I'm having a little bit of difficulty articulating it about like, you know, the idea like with racism and whatever, and I think like forgetting the like specific descriptions of them, like kind of the more pragmatic dangers of like what sometimes can be like almost like a spiritual eugenics, like there's like an inherent, you know, greatness of the Jewish people, and that's why we're chosen, and there's just like a superiority of some sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, is there, meaning, because on the one hand, it's like it shouldn't, in theory, basically only be philosophical and based off of like Torah and principles, but is there a consideration of like the danger, so to speak, of that conception in reality, where maybe that would then drive us to almost by necessity reject approaches that would imply that makes sense.
It's definitely a danger. And yes, I think there is a danger. I sort of told you at the beginning what happened with those chapters.
Yeah, exactly.
The chapter on Kuzari. And so it is a danger. And there's always, you know, it's true. You know, Koros could be understood. And if you don't have the right balance, or you sort of focus too much on certain statements, or you take them out of context and forget the bigger picture, there's a tremendous danger. And so I think, you know, I think we'll try to get back to that maybe next week, Bezos Hashem, when we look at the Kuzari, we look at some of those sources. I think you're right. I think there is, and I think we have to very much be aware of that danger.
Because I think just to add on to that, and then I'll sign off. But they could, like, I think in my, like, as I've always kind of been confronting it, there was like, I've definitely been oscillating between the different positions and different approaches. Mm-hmm. But I think that one thing that I kind of noticed and felt, I think, became more uncomfortable with is when, let's say, I would be speaking with friends and we'd be talking about it, and, you know, we kind of say like, oh no, there is like this betterness, but like it's really for them, like it's our responsibility to give to them. And it almost kind of struck me as like the half deal of like a separate but equal, but like, no, but it's going to be like, it's really going to be equal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of like denying the reality of like human condition that can't really sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. For the topic. I appreciate you discussing it and teaching it.
Okay. All right. Shkayach, thank you for the haros.
Thanks so much.